what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 404 Show on this Friday, April 21st. Thank you for tuning in. I will say thank you, and then I will apologize. Apologizing for a couple things. Number one, I am sorry we were not able to put out a show last week, or anything for that matter. So please accept my apologies. Russ and I have a lot of stuff going on, both work-wise and personal-wise, and we just weren't able to swing it last week. I will now apologize for this week because we can't do another new show. I mean, like, this is new, what you're getting from me right now, but this is not what the show is going to be. I have to play a rerun, and I'm doing that for a couple reasons. One, I just said we don't have time to do a show this week, and I'm sorry for that. But two, I know for a fact we have data, we have sophisticated robots that count the amount of people that subscribe and download our show, and we know that number for the first time in a while has gone up. And I think it's because we've got some new friends from the Giant Bomb family, and I want to say hello to you. And I want to give you a little kiss on the cheek, and I want to say thank you, because you guys are fantastic. You sought out 404, and you're getting a taste of what this show is like, and Russ and I thank you very much for doing so. So because of that newfound sort of listenership, I wanted to play for you the most downloaded, the most popular episode that we've ever done. And I'm sure you might have heard about it if you did a little digging on the internet about the show. It's the episode, it is the classic episode where Justin gets lost in the woods. And I know we've played this before, we've done a throwback before. I want to say we've done it at least 2 to 3 times. But there's a lot of people who've heard about the episode. It's not the easiest thing to search for. You can find it, but now I'm just putting it out in the feed for everyone to catch up who's a new subscriber. So it's super easy now. So now everyone can hear it. It could be fresh in your feed, and you will have now known the saga of Justin Yu, one of our previous hosts. So please enjoy this. Also, if you are one of those giant Beastcast people, again, welcome to 404 land. And if you are a real Beastcast fan, you'll be happy to know that we also did celebrate our 100th episode this week. And in honor of that, and 404 people will know who I'm talking about as well. In honor of that, our bestest buddy, Blake from Canada, put together a beautiful t-shirt, a beautiful work of art that we are currently selling on the Giant Bomb website. So please, if you enjoy good t-shirts, as you know I do, go to Giant Bomb and check out his gorgeous 100th episode celebration t-shirt that is available for purchase on giantbomb.com. Before I leave you with the throwback episode, I want to take a second and kind of reflect on this program, because I, for a while, have been telling people when they ask how long have we been doing 404, and my answer usually is 7 to 8 years, and today, I, for whatever reason, it took so long, but I realized I was dead wrong. I can't believe this, but this show is almost a decade old. It's almost 10 freaking years. And if you go back and if you look at the Wikia, when we used to have an active community that did that, you go back and our first episode was November of 2007, guys and girls. You believe that? I can't tell if that's cool or not. I think it's cool. I don't think podcasts have been around for as long as people think they have. 10 years? You serious? That's so great. And we've only done it because we've had people that listened. We wouldn't do this if no one listened. That'd be crazy. So thank you to everybody. And even to the few of you who I know are hearing this thinking, well, I've been with you since the start, Jeff. You should be lucky to have me. We are inexplicably lucky to have you. So thank you so much. for being a part of the 404 family. Thank you so much if you're coming over from Giant Bomb. Thank you so much if you've ever told a family member, a friend, a close acquaintance, anyone you know, your dog, your cat, well, maybe not your cat, but your pet, skunk, whoever you've told about this show and spread the love. Thank you so much. We're going to keep doing this for as long as we can do this. And thank you so much for being here all these years. So please enjoy this episode that has been downloaded so many times. I can't begin to explain. It's been downloaded a number of times that has six digits in the number. It's insanity. So thank you from the very bottom of my heart and Russ's heart, who isn't here at the moment. Please enjoy this episode, and we'll see you guys next time. It's Tuesday, May 28th, 2013. This is the 404 Show. I'm Jeff Bacalar.
I'm Justin Yu.
I'm Ariel Nunez.
Welcome to the program, everybody. We are visited by an Australian friend today. Raj Diute is in the studio. What's up, Raj?
No, not much. What's going on with you?
So Raj was here a while ago. He did some interviewing for Mac Talk Australia, and he's back now. And Raj is going to have front row seats to a story that needs to be told. I don't know how long it's going to go. I don't know.
I think it might go the entire episode.
This story... And can I introduce it a little bit?
Please.
It's a tale of survival. It's a tale of tech and surviving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tale of the human spirit, what it means to be a human being.
Man, this is sounding good.
And I, you know,
yeah, you're really
hyping this up a lot.
No,
I'm not sure I'm going to live up to this story.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I probably am overhyping it, but you know, Justin told me a story in the lab this morning, and I was like, dude, you have to tell everyone this because this is... batshit crazy.
The story was so crazy that Jeff felt the need to give me a hug right after I told him the story.
Wow.
I've never had physical contact. I've never even shaken Jeff's hand before. And he gave me a hug.
Yeah. You are so bony.
It was crazy. You broke three of my ribs.
I thought I was hugging a broom.
So thank you.
Right. But no, but seriously, everyone listen very carefully. We'll try and get to maybe some stuff after it.
Mm-hmm.
Raj is here. He's going to hear about this too.
I'm looking forward to it.
And maybe we're like, you should write something about this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure. We can take it to Time Mag.
It's definitely a good tech
this
angle.
This is a Time magazine, yeah. And there is a tech angle as well.
Yeah.
Without further ado, tell us what happened to you last night, dude.
Okay, so I want to hear about what happened with your guys' Memorial Day.
Yeah.
The weekend, but this is what happened to me. So my girlfriend and I decided to go for a short hike, right? And we went online and we found this hike that went through Reeves Meadow. It's a loop in Sloatsburg in New York. So we took the New Jersey Transit to get there, right? And according to this trail map, should have been about a 4 mile or 4 hour hike, about 6 miles total. And so we start the day off about like 2 o'clock. We get in at two off the New Jersey Transit. And this 4 hour hike ended up being the most helpless I've ever been in my life and the closest I've ever come to death in my entire life.
So we're not joking, like... You almost died.
I almost died, yeah.
Legitimately almost died last night.
Mm-hmm. By my own volition.
And you know how hard that would have been to fill in for you with that short of
a
note?
Is that the first thing that you worry about?
I mean, like, it's
not
so,
my cat.
It's so disrespectful. Anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. Continue. So tell us, like, about the trail. Like, what was the intention? What was the plan?
So the plan was to do this six-mile hike in about 4 hours. That was the average time. It's an easy trail. There are families there. It's a loop as well. So here's a map of it right here. This is the trailhead where we started, and it kind of loops around and goes here.
So for people who don't know jack about hiking, some hikes are not, or you know, you go and you come back. Some of them work in a loop.
Right.
Which by the time that you're done with the hike, you're back where you
takes
started.
Takes you back. So we started at the, there's a store down there that sells maps and whatnot. We did not buy a map because we had downloaded some maps to our phone, right? And just a quick background on our hiking experience. We have none. We've gone on a few trail hikes. We've walked around a lot. We've done some camping. But in general, we're city slickers. We're definitely amateurs when it comes to this type of thing.
Yeah, but you've also, like, you're no stranger to the great outdoors.
Yeah, definitely. I've done a lot of mountain biking. I'm a big cyclist.
Yeah.
And we spent some time on the farm last week. So maybe we were feeling a little bit overzealous. I don't know. We'll get into it after I tell this story.
Okay.
But anyway, we took New Jersey Transit to Sloatsburg, started the trip off about 2 p.m., right? About an hour and a half into the trip, we realize that my girlfriend lost her sunglasses somewhere along the trail. Mm-hmm. And this is about like 5 or 6 o'clock, so there were still plenty of people walking along the trail.
Yeah, it wasn't empty.
But we had to backtrack, right? Mm. And, you know, when you're looking for something in the woods, you really have to spend a lot of time kind of crawling and looking back where you were walking.
Sure, sure.
So about 2 hours after looking for them, we finally find them, right?
Oh,
these
you
are
did
expensive
find them.
Sunglasses, wow. So apparently they could not have been sacrificed.
That's
on
a good
trail.
Effort, though. That's the find.
Yeah,
man.
She really wanted to find these sunglasses.
That is the needle in the haystack, and you were able to get
right.
it.
But of course, that threw off our schedule.
Right.
Right. And as we were walking, we started noticing that there were fewer and fewer people. The crowds were thinning out, coming the opposite direction, and there were no people coming in the same direction. So there was no one coming behind us, and there was no one ahead of us that we saw. Right. So at about 7 o'clock, there was about an hour and a half left of daylight, and we had been hiking for about 3 hours now, and we had to make a decision, right? We didn't know where we were on the trail loop because there was no service up there. We did have the maps, but we weren't sure where we were on the trail. There were markers, though, and so we were following along this path that was pretty easy, but at this point, we had to make a decision, and that decision was whether to go back, you know, and spend the 3 hours hiking down or take a risk. And maybe we were past the halfway mark, and there was less space ahead of us than there was behind.
So how?
Right. So this was a hard decision because if we decided to backtrack, we definitely would have had to hike in the dark, mm-hmm. at least for 2 hours, because we had, you know, we had been hiking for three already.
So
and we only had an hour left in daylight.
So how did you not? So how did you not know that you were halfway through? Like, don't the trail markers tell you how far you've gone?
No,
they're just marked.
The trail markers are literally just it's a white square. Painted on the tree with a red dot inside of it, and that let you know you were on the right trail. So there was no mile markers or anything like that. There was nothing letting you know how much further you have to go or how long you've traveled.
Literally no way to tell how far you were on this trail.
Yeah, so we had hiked a few hours already. We had to figure out what we wanted to do. At this point, we decided to do a gear check. And I brought some of the things that that we took with us that ended up being a really big help. This is not PR for the companies. This is just what we had on us. So I had a big backpack. And we had I had a merino wool sweater, Gore-Tex jacket, and a regular sweater on top of that, mm-hmm. right? In addition to whatever shirt I was wearing.
Okay.
This is the tech that I had on me. I had this, which I'm actually testing out right now for CNET. This is for people that aren't watching the video.
Oh, this is going to be the greatest review ever for that.
Yeah, this really is. I'm gonna have to send this to them afterwards.
Yeah.
This is by a company called Snow Lizard, and it's an iPhone case. This is for the 4, but they make one for the 5 as well. And it's this was actually started as a Kickstarter. And was funded successfully, so now it's in production. It's an iPhone case that's just indestructible, basically.
And
but it also has,
stuff, yeah.
yeah, so it's weatherproof, it's rainproof, totally submersible.
It's lost
and it has
proof.
A battery inside of it. And it's lost proof.
It's lost
it's
on a trail
yellow.
Proof.
Yeah, hopefully. but this is a cool thing. It also has a solar charger on the back of it.
Oh, cool.
It holds a charge.
Nice.
So I had a full charge on it.
All right.
Which, you know, would basically recharge a phone back to 100%.
So you could plug that in, obviously.
Yeah. So I have my phone in here right now.
That's gotcha.
How it works, right?
Okay.
I had this Phoenix flashlight. I think I brought this for show and tell after Sandy.
Right.
Right? Yeah. This is my, like, LED flashlight. I had this on me, but I used it through Sandy, and then I used it on that farming trip that I described last week, so I had no idea where the battery was, right? I maybe had, like, about halfway left.
Okay.
So I had this, and then we each had our own iPhones that were about at 40% with flashlights and that digital compass that comes built in.
Gotcha.
No separate compass.
Okay.
And we had our maps on the phones.
So right now, you guys have made the decision to trek forward.
Yeah.
To close the loop, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we decided to press forward. You know, we decided that we didn't want to take the risk to go back because we knew we'd travel in the darkness. Wasn't sure how much flashlight life I had left.
All right.
So we decided to go forward. This was about at 8 o'clock. We had about 20 minutes left until sundown, so we hiked more. It didn't look like it was clearing up. It didn't look like it was looping around either. You know, we would kind of figure maybe it would turn right because it was a loop and we were going east.
Mm.
It didn't look like it.
Yeah.
So at about 8 o'clock, with about 20 minutes left until sundown, we looked down at our iPhones, and we saw that we were about 2 miles away, according to the GPS, from the eastern tip of the park.
Okay.
This is a 200-mile square foot park.
Oh, my God.
But the trail is very deep embedded inside of it. But according to this GPS on our phones, on both of our phones, because we both checked, looked like we were about 2 miles away from the eastern tip. But we were still on the trail, so it was easy to follow.
Right.
Right? The trail was leading us inside the perimeter, so we decided to go off the trail very briefly and see if we could head east to see if maybe we could catch civilization off that eastern tip. Right? Because we were, it looked like we were only 2 miles away from it.
So you, the decision to leave the trail was made based on the GPS location that your iPhone was giving you.
And we saw a giant hill and what looked to be lights past the hill. So two of those things combined, we decided we have no idea how long this trail is left. It's likely more than 2 miles. Let's just go and check out this hill. We'll get a better vantage point, see right. how long the trail is. And then maybe we can, we will there will actually be a city over the hill.
So at this point...
It was a risk.
At this point, you've already decided things have gone south.
Things have gone south. We already realized we were somewhat in danger. We had to get out of the park back onto the street.
So that was two miles
is kind of a gamble.
So the light was really
This was about 8 o'clock, so it was definitely dusk at this point.
And, okay, so you're making your way up this hill now.
Yeah.
And you're off the trail.
So we decided to veer off the trail, thinking that we could climb this hill, and if it didn't work out, we would just go back, right? We climbed this hill east according to what the compass looked like, right? We lined up the arrows and went east to see if there was civilization close by. After climbing this hill, our hearts dropped because it was just miles and miles of more forest.
Oh, my God.
It was a good vantage point, but it was miles of more forest.
This is why I don't go hiking, ever.
Wait, so now paint this picture. You think you're going to hit, you think you're getting up to the top of this hill,
right.
And you're just going to see, like, L.A.
Right, yeah.
You're just going to see, like, lights and lights for miles, right?
It was a mirage. We did see lights.
I mentioned that
we saw lights, but they were actually lights on a giant mountain that was miles and miles and miles away.
Oh, because your eyes play a little bit of a trick
right.
on you
and
when there's
we
such
are
low light.
Much lower.
Yeah.
So we get to this hill, we see this vantage point, so miles of forest, and decided to just descend immediately because the light was getting dark.
And now it's dark.
So at that point, it got pitch black.
Like, it's dark.
It got pitch black, and it looked nothing like the way we came. We thought we were turning back directly from the route that we got here from.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It looked like someone had just completely turned us around. We had to descend down this hill that was branches, and there were, like, a ton of bushes and things like that. We kept checking our iPhone compasses. And then we started noticing that the compasses were giving us two separate directions.
Oh, my God.
So what we thought was east wasn't east, because I looked at my phone, it said northwest, and we were pointing them in the same direction.
But couldn't you tell where the sun was setting?
Like, the sun had already set.
But you couldn't, like, and then once it's gone, you sort of lose
we were turned around. We had no idea what was north or south. And so at this point, our phones were at about 30%. We had turned off the Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth. The brightness setting was all the way down. So we were scared, but we were trying to conserve battery life.
Now, did you have service?
We did not have. There was no service.
Oh,
zero service.
See, that's
even on that hill.
That's the scariest thing, honestly, so far. Like, just because you can't. You're at the top of this hill. There's miles of black forest ahead of you.
Right.
Behind you, you're lost and disoriented, and don't even know where that trail's at anymore. Right.
Right. That was the scariest part, is losing that trail, because the markers had reflections on them. So if you pointed a flashlight at it, you could tell you were going the right way. And there were markers, maybe there were five of them every mile. So it was pretty easy to see where you could go.
Sure.
But once we got off that trail, it was just brush. Like, it was maybe like bushes up to like your stomach.
So now you're in a very heavily wooded forest.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch black
darkness.
No cell phone service.
No cell phone service. I had a flashlight, but that was it in terms of a light source. We didn't want to use the flashlights on our phones because that would deplete them. If we needed to make a phone call, if we needed to, like, maybe get GPS, we wanted to conserve it for that.
Right.
So we had one flashlight between the two of us. This was at about 11:30 now.
So it's 11:30 at night and no service.
Yeah, this was after about 2 hours of hiking in that pitch black darkness. We could hear things rustling around in the bushes. Yeah, we could hear animals, crickets. We could hear a stream, too. So we decided to follow that stream. Because I watch a lot of survivalist television shows like Survivor Man, you know, Bear Grylls. They always say, you know, like, just follow the stream. That will likely lead you to civilization. Or a cliff. I don't know. Right?
Yeah. Or, like, I don't know, really dangerous fish.
Yeah.
Okay. So question here for you. When was the point where you were like, okay.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
So this was now at about 11:30 after 2 hours of hiking.
And this
total
is last
darkness.
Night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
This was last night.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, we were moving glacially, you know, because, like, we're trying to make sure our footing is steady. There were loose rocks on the ground, so we didn't want to roll our ankles or break something, fall. We didn't know if there was a cliff.
Yeah.
So we were moving really slowly. At about 11:30, we had to stop, regroup ourselves, and decide whether or not to sit still, right, and wait it out until daylight, which would have been about 8 hours, right?
Or maybe six or seven hours,
right, until, like, 5:30 in the morning. So wait there, sit still, or keep walking and see if maybe we could hit either a trail or civilization. Right, it was a stretch, but you know there was a lot of risk. There was the cliffs, there were animals. We had read earlier on this trail guide that there were snakes.
Oh my god!
And deer.
I would have had a heart attack and died.
Yeah,
I just can't even imagine.
So we decided to keep walking for a little longer. Right, we were like, okay, we're not ready to give up yet. I wouldn't have been able to sleep, and I would have had to stay awake for 5-6 hours. We had no water on us anymore because I had a clean canteen that was gone. Right, we had drank the water, no food, we were super hungry. I wasn't sure if we could, you know, we would make it through the night, but we'd probably be so weak and tired by the morning. I don't know how long we would have to hike to get back to someone, you know, like a campsite, right. Another hiker or whatever.
That's true, because yeah, you don't even
this
think about
it. This is 200 miles of park, and we had veered off the trail.
And, right, so you don't know where the trail is. Maybe in the morning you would have been able to find the trail again. Maybe,
but who hikes at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
I don't know if we would find someone.
And the food thing's a good point, too. Like, you know, where do you, you know, at what point would you get to where it's like, oh, my God, we can't go on any longer. We're just so starved and you know, malnourished.
Right.
What's going through your mind at this point in time at 11:30 or close to midnight, pitch black, decide to move on? Like, I'd be freaking out.
Yeah, be totally honest. What was going through your head, man?
We were freaking out, but I think we were keeping it together for each other. Right. You know, it's just the two of us there, and so we had to sit down and regroup and talk to each other a lot. Yeah. Like, okay, what do we want to do? You know, these are decisions, like, starting with whether or not we wanted to backtrack, you know, as the sun was going down.
It's prepared you for marriage.
Yes. Yeah, really. Like, we're definitely a lot closer now. You know, like, we had to take those risks together, so we had to be in total agreement in whatever that was, because I didn't want to feel guilty if something went wrong and it was me that had made the decision.
Yeah.
So we were scared. At this point, I wasn't scared for my life yet, though. You know, I figured, okay, I could probably make it through the night. The worst case scenario is that, you know, like, maybe we'd encounter an animal. Maybe, like, I would break my leg or we would fall down somewhere and the other person would have to take care of
us. Yeah. I run, like, watching, like, The Walking Dead or other shows like that, I run scenarios like this through my head all the time because I'm a type 1 diabetic.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And my thought every time is, I'm dead.
Right.
Yeah.
And if this was happening to me, I would be freaking out. Like, there is no way I would be keeping it together at this point.
Yeah, that's what, you know, and the story's not even over, but it's like, your composure is...
No, I mean, I'm composed now because we came out of it and we were laughing afterward because we were so relieved. But at the time, it was a lot of, like, okay...
Panic?
Like, this is crazy. Like, this was real at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we knew that this was real. And here's a few pictures. But I only took two because obviously we weren't in that mindset to be taking photos. But, you know, like I also dropped a pin as well. We had like zero service left, but at one point I got one bar. So the first thing I thought to do was I text messaged a friend to like let him know after dropping a pin. And that was it. You know, like then the service went out again. I couldn't text him what to do. So here's my girlfriend walking through total darkness. This is a photo taken with the iPhone flash.
Wow.
So
you can barely see anything.
With the flash, you know, went maybe like 4 feet.
You can tell you're hiking because of the stick though, right?
Right,
That's a definitive hiking stick.
So we had two sticks to hike with. And we were using those as walking, like, you know, like we were blind, basically.
Yeah.
We had to like move them in front of us to make sure there was no cliff, look for any rocks, etc. Here's another one. This was with just my flashlight. No iPhone flash.
That's something else.
So it was a lot of, you know, like walking next to each other, holding hands, you know, to make sure that like, if one person stumbled, we could grab each other, you know, that sort of thing. So this was definitely the scariest part. This is the last hurdle, right? So after climbing down this hill, we realized that there was a light in the distance, right? This is about midnight now.
So you finally see a light.
After about an hour more of
an
walking.
An hour more of just going in a direction, like, don't forget.
No
like,
idea.
Like,
could
this direction.
Could have been walking further into
could the. Could have been walking. This is a 200 square miles,
yeah.
Right? That's what it is?
Yeah.
200 square mile park, walking in just a direction.
Yeah, just somewhere.
That way. What about the stars? Could you see the stars?
No stars. There was no stars.
It was overcast.
I mean, it was overcast. There was also a lot of wetlands around. Like, you know, there's a stream, but then that also created marshes next to it because of the rain from last week. So it was wet, too. Our feet were muddy. Our feet were getting wet.
Yeah.
I had waterproof socks on me, but, you know, between the two of us, I gave them to her.
Sure.
And so she was wearing these socks. My feet were wet.
Always the gentleman.
We were both cold. You know, what are you going to do, right? So we finally see a light at the distance at eye level. A tiny little light. No idea what that could have been, right? Like, maybe it was a construction worker that like left a light on at a site. Could have been a house or maybe a street lamp. Anything, right? It was a tiny little pinhole light. But that was the best hope that we had. So we decided to walk toward that. Right, and it was a little bit of hope in an otherwise hopeless situation. So we had to take that, and we started walking towards it. And we start climbing down this hill, right? Down, down, down. It was a steep hill, so we had to walk sideways, right? Using these walking sticks to brace ourselves.
So, like, the light, did it appear like it was at eye level? Like, or was it higher than you, lower than you?
It was at eye level, but we didn't know how high that was. You know, it could have been a house, which would have been great. Or it could have been a tall, tall light post, maybe off in the distance. Because we were tricked before, so we were hopeful but skeptical at the same time, right?
And from the time you saw that, okay, I'm sorry, keep going. How far did it appear, if you had a guess?
I have no idea. Miles.
Miles?
Yeah, yeah, it was not a close light, and it was tiny.
Oh, my God.
So after climbing down this hill, we get to wetlands,
what?
Right? Wetlands.
Wetlands.
Wetlands, a marsh.
Ugh.
And this was the most dejecting, right? Because in all directions, you know, it was wetlands. It was this huge thing blocking our way. So we had to make another decision, right? Like, do we walk along the wetlands, hoping that it breaks somewhere, looking for some, I don't know, maybe
something
a bridge
cross, yeah.
Or do we walk away from the light? You know, that light was so far our best chance of, our best hope of finding something. So it didn't look deep. It was about a foot and a half, right? And we walked along for a little while, and we saw a long log. We couldn't see how long the log stretched for, though, into the marsh, right? But we decided to just step onto the log to see like how stable it was, and it was.
Yeah.
And since we had those two long sticks, they were maybe about like 5 feet long. Yeah. We had two sticks each. Peony, my girlfriend, decided to jump up onto the log and see how long it stretched for, right? Maybe it went across. So I was shining a flashlight on her since I was the only one with a light source while she walked across. And she called to me from across, maybe about 100 feet away.
Yeah.
I couldn't see her anymore.
Oh, my God.
Because there was brush everywhere, too, right? Like, it wasn't just a marsh. It was, like, you know, trees and
so
things coming out of it.
You couldn't see her.
Right. I couldn't see her anymore. She called out to me from across the log that it stopped. And that there was no other place that she could continue walking onto. There was no adjacent log. There was nothing. It just stopped right in the middle of this marsh.
Surrounded by water.
Surrounded by water, right? And it was maybe like 2 feet deep at that point. But there was also mud underneath. So she could, you know, jam her stick further down.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea how deep it was. She called me this log had stopped and that she was going to turn around. At this point, I heard a rustling in the bushes behind me. Right? I was by myself.
Shut up.
I heard a rustling in the bushes behind me. I didn't know what it was, but this is what I heard. I heard a rustling and I heard what sounded like something breathing. Like it was like scoffing.
No.
Like that.
It was like grunting.
I don't know what it was. It like sounded like wheezing. I didn't know if
it was an asthmatic
animal. Yeah, or an asthmatic murderer. I have no idea what it was, right? I couldn't see anything. I shined the flashlight. I started saying hello. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't the right decision.
Wow, that's insane.
I wanted to whisper to her, so I whispered to her that I could hear something, but she couldn't hear me, so I could hear her calling my name, but I was trying to get her not to do that because it was exposing our position, right? So I turned off my light, because I was afraid that whatever was in this darkness
was attracted
by the light, our talking, all that stuff.
Oh my
the
God.
The smell.
What was your heart? Your heart?
This was the most scared I had been.
Were you like sweating?
I was sweating. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It wasn't hot, but I was sweating. I was definitely shaking at this point.
Oh, man. I'm like, I'm freaking out. Just, and I
didn't know what it was.
Ends, and, I free, and I'm
yeah.
freaking out.
So finally, I decided to turn the light on, right? I guess I wouldn't have been scared if it was like a deer, even if it was a wolf. I was scared that it was a person.
Whoa.
Okay.
You know, like, immediately a scene from The Hills Have Eyes flashed into my skull. You know, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, oh, man, are these freaks? Are they, like, crazy people that just hang out in the woods? Is it, like, a homeless guy that's, like, I don't know. It could be in any, could be anything. So I shined a light behind me, finally, and I see a set of eyes.
No.
I see a set of yellow eyes.
Shut up.
So it wasn't a person. It was either a deer or a wolf. But I decided not to take a risk, and so I called out to Peony that I heard something. I told her exactly what I just said, that it was probably an animal, right?
Yeah.
It was close to me. It was maybe 300 feet away. I could see its eyes. You know, it was close enough so I could see its eyes.
Oh, so I didn't realize. Okay. So it's decently far.
Right.
300 feet's pretty far.
Right. So this is the setup right now, is the woods were behind me,
right?
Where the whatever this animal was.
Right.
I was, like, right up at the tip of the marsh, shining a light on Peony, who was on the log.
She's still in the middle
She's
of the marsh
on the log.
Log,
and I told her not to come back. And I told her that I don't want to take a risk of going back into the woods and facing whatever animal this is. I'm going to go out and join her on this log, right?
Why not?
So I stick my flashlight into my hat, right, and I just start climbing out. And this was another point we had to make a decision, right?
So you catch up to her.
So I catch up to her. I explain to her what's happening. We're whispering to each other at this point, right? The light is off, so we're in pitch black darkness.
Oh, my God.
On a log.
On a log. In a marsh in the middle of the woods.
Insane.
No light whatsoever. We're whispering to each other. What are we going to do?
Today's show is brought to you by Subaru. When you're shopping for a car, talking with someone who owns one can be very helpful. Better than anyone, they're going to know what it's like to own that brand inside and out. And that's why Subaru made meetanowner.com. It's a new website where you can meet real Subaru owners and get an unfiltered look at what it's like owning one of their vehicles. I did something like this when I bought my Subaru Forester in 2014. There was not meetanowner.com just yet, but I was on forums talking to people, and it really helped me out. So now Subaru is doing this their own way. Meetanowner.com. Subaru owners can create their own profile, share what they like about their cars, videos, photos, stories, the whole lot. Subaru owners are all full of interesting stories and insights. And on Meet an Owner, you can share all those real life experiences and see what it's like to actually be behind the wheel of one of their vehicles. So if you've ever wondered what it's like to drive a Subaru, to own one, check out meetanowner.com and learn from real owners. One more time, go check out meetanowner.com.
We decide that we have to get into the marsh because I didn't want to go back, right? I don't want to face whatever animal this is. It could have been more than one.
Yeah.
The light is still ahead of us. We could still see that tiny little light in the distance. And we could see the end of the marsh too using this flashlight. So it was maybe like 100 feet.
Mm.
But the marsh was deep. So we decided to get into the marsh. I put my phone into the snow lizard. She puts her backpack into my backpack. Hers is smaller, mine's bigger, and it's more waterproof. So she puts hers into mine. I take off my jacket, I take off my hat and my shirt, put it into my backpack. I couldn't take off my shoes because I was worried what's underneath.
Who knows?
I didn't take off my pants because I was on a log.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to...
Don't take...
I think in retrospect now, like, I probably should have taken off my pants because we were going to get wet and
so
I would have known.
No.
But I don't know, like, what's hanging out in this marsh?
Exactly. Dude, who knows? Like, we're at Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, this was, like, dead water, so I wasn't worried about alligators or anything like that.
Right.
But... I don't know. Eels? Where do eels hang out? I have no idea.
It's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's not going to be fun.
Oh, my gosh. So we just finally decided to get into the marsh. And this was definitely the scariest part, right? At this point, I was fearing for my life.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that this animal was going to run out onto the log.
And be like, oh, they're just primed for the picking.
Yeah.
Was it a single log the whole way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
so
a single
like,
log, no branches.
You couldn't sort of propel yourself off with
Yeah, and it was about the width of a balance beam.
Yeah. Right.
But
oh,
we had those
insane
two sticks that we were bracing ourselves onto, but we could feel them sinking into the mud below.
Yeah.
So it wasn't stable by any means. So we were kind of balancing and had to, you know, take them out of the mud and put them into a different spot to keep them from sinking. So at this point, we get into the marsh. I go first because I have the flashlight, but we need to stick together because it's only the two of us, and I still have this flashlight. Can't make this up. At this point, the light starts flickering. The flashlight starts flickering, which means the flashlight battery is dying. And I have it on the lowest setting because it's a 5-setting flashlight, right? Like, it gets, you know, there's like 5 different dims.
What was going through your head? You're just like, oh God, can anything else go wrong?
Yeah. I think at this point, like, I was like saying comforting things to Peony. I was like, we can do this. Like, it's okay. Like, we're going to make it. Like, baby, we're fine.
Knowing yourself that you're just saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm basically just convincing myself. Later on, Peony told me that when she heard me say baby, that was when she knew, like, she was like very scared at that point. It actually made it worse for her because she could tell that I was trying to keep it together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I probably should have just been like, yeah, we're fine, you know, but, you know, there's no lying about it. Like, we're in serious danger.
Yeah.
And I think the helplessness of it was the scariest part. No one knew where we were.
Yeah.
There was no one else around. Like, I didn't scream or anything, but I'm assuming no one was around.
Do you know if the friend you text and you drop the pin, did they get that?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't get a reply, but it sent.
Yeah.
I didn't get a reply. And it was just a pin, too. It wasn't a message.
Right, okay.
So it was just a pin. There was no message with it.
Completely out of context. That's so super strange.
Yeah. And this was at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that would have... That may be... Anyway, yeah.
So I get into the marsh first, and immediately my feet start sinking. It's like quicksand.
Oh, my God.
Because it's mud underneath.
Shut up.
And so we had to move fast.
Yeah.
Right? We had to move fast because, like, the longer you stick in your weight into this mud, the deeper you're going to get. I had no idea how deep it was.
Where's the water up to?
So we jump in. The water goes up to my chest. I'm 6'1", right? And that's not sinking in. So I can feel myself getting lower.
So now you're like, okay, we might...
Yeah, so I'm like, we're in trouble.
We might drown here.
Peony's almost up to her neck.
Oh, my God.
And I have my backpack with her backpack in it. I don't know, it's maybe 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I have it above my head with the sticks horizontally, like holding onto the backpack and the stick. She has like the sticks in the marsh that she's using kind of as like ski poles.
Yeah.
Through this marsh. And it was muddy, so we got in. It was cold, too, right? Like, this was at 1 in the morning, so it was cold. The sand went up to our chests. Oh, the sand went up to our knees at this point.
Oh, my God. So you're walking through
knee-high
sand?
So the water is up to my chest. The sand is up to my knees and getting deeper as we're walking.
So you're like, we're gonna drown.
I'm freaking out.
You're like, we're going to drown right here.
Yeah. At this point, like, this is the closest I've ever come to death. You know, I didn't know if it was going to get deeper.
Water getting in your mouth and stuff?
No, the water wasn't getting in our mouth at this point because it wasn't up to our chin yet.
Right. Like, Peony was close, though.
She was close, yeah. And I kept asking her, like, if you want to turn around, if it's too deep for you, like, let me know. Like, we could turn around. We could find something else.
How was it, like, moving your legs in the sand?
It was like quicksand.
Yeah.
Like, we had to, like,
really struggle to
pull our legs out of the sand.
Ripping your shoes off, like, with the mud?
I could feel it, because the water was in my shoes, too.
Yeah,
the water was in my shoes. But when we were on that log deciding what to do before we got into the marsh, we had tightened our shoes knowing this was going to happen, but it was still pulling.
Yeah.
Remember, I don't have a shirt on, either.
Yeah.
So it's freezing, right? It's really cold. And Peony had, like, kind of tied her shirt into itself. So we were really cold, and... you know, so we finally get in and we keep waiting. At about halfway through, we hit like hardness on the bottom.
Oh, good.
And that was a huge relief.
Yeah.
Kind of, because we didn't know if it would get deep again, right?
But that was just the back of a dinosaur.
Yeah. so far up to this point, we hadn't felt anything in the water, right? Like, there were bushes around, there was thorns. And so, you know, like, we were getting like a little bloody and like it was bad.
Yeah.
So we keep walking. We're trying to move as quickly as possible. I'm like talking her through it the whole time. Whenever I get into like situations like this, I always talk a lot. Like, I don't know. That's like always my gut instinct.
Sure. It's like
whenever I like
reaction.
Hiked, I don't know if you guys have ever done like Yosemite Half Dome, like in California, but it's like, you know, anytime I get into like a dangerous situation where I'm worried,
it's a nervous coping mechanism.
Totally. Yeah. So I'm talking a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying like, oh, this is fine. Like, we're going to do it. Like, oh, I hit bottom. Like, I'm narrating.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm like telling her it's going to be okay. And she's like, okay, okay, okay. She's crying at this point. Mm. I'm trying to keep it together for the both of us, right. But you know, it's hard. So as we get to the other side, it gets thicker. Like, there are bushes inside the water that get thicker. So we have to step onto the bushes, which is harder because we're still pulling our legs out of the sand.
Yeah.
No joke. I feel something brush against my leg.
No.
I feel something brush against my leg. And I don't know if it was a fish.
It could have been a snake.
A snake. There were snakes described in that trail map.
They promised snakes.
They said snakes. Could have been snakes. I don't know. I have no idea what it could have been. Could have been a swimming guy.
Maybe. Could have been a guy.
Swimming dude.
Yeah.
So I tell her this, and I was like, baby, I don't want to freak you out. I just felt something brush against my leg. We need to move quicker.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay. And we like really get a move on at this point. And we finally emerge from this marsh on the other side.
Wow.
Soaking wet.
Sure.
Right? Like everything is wet at this point. Yeah. Backpack's wet. Like I had to dump my backpack, turn it over to pour all the water out.
Oh,
everything
man.
Was soaked. Her iPhone screwed. Yeah. Right? Mine, still good. Thank you, Snow Lizard.
Yeah, seriously. This is going to be the most epic review, by the way. Yeah, I can't wait to read that review.
I survived.
Yeah. So we hike a little more, right? At this point, like I'm shivering. Yeah. You know, like I'm a skinny guy. I can't really like handle a lot of cold. And it was maybe about 1:30 at this point. So we keep walking a little further and we finally hit a road. And this was like we like embraced, we kissed at this point.
Oh,
you know,
my
we were
God.
Like, this is like amazing.
Sure.
No cars on the road.
No.
But it was something.
Yeah.
Right? And we finally walk along the road, maybe a mile more. So it's still soaking wet. And we come upon a house. One house. And this was actually the house that had the light on top of it.
Really?
Wow.
Nice. It was like a 2-story house and it had a light. Like,
so this
I don't know
house
what
is in
was.
The middle of freaking nowhere.
It was, I have no idea what it was. And like, we're scared at this. We're still very scared at this point because, like, look at us. You know, like, we were soaking
you
wet.
Look crazy.
Like, we look insane, and it's 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning now.
Oh, my God.
So I've never had to do this before, but we decided, like, we have no choice. You know, like, I was getting service, but I don't, like, who do you call? Like, I wasn't going to call the cops. Maybe
why?
Taxi
Wait,
service.
Why wouldn't you call
I don't know.
The
like,
cops?
I felt like we needed to, like, just knock on this door first.
Okay.
So that's what we did.
Yeah, I didn't even mention this in before. I'm like, so the cops, that was not, like, 911, that wasn't, like, a
Well,
thing.
We weren't getting service inside of the forest. Like, it was only when
we
finally stepped out
I know, but
the
then
street.
Now that you're on a street with service.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we hadn't, I thought about it. It definitely crossed my mind. I was like, okay, we can call emergency service.
Right, so you knew you were going to be okay once you got there.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. You ever taken a paramedics before? Man, they're expensive. Okay, that. I'm not that desperate yet. So we finally decide to knock on this door, right? And all the lights are off, right? They're sleeping, or if there's anyone home, like, it's dark. So we knock on this door, and we just hear, like, can I help you? Through the door, right? The mini blinds are closed, but it's a big glass window. And we talk to this guy. We explain to him our situation. Like, we're still in a state of shock at this point, so we're talking super fast, and the guy's like, you need to slow down. Like, what's going on, and what do you need from me? So we tell him, like, I don't know. I have no idea, like, what we're doing. We're here. Like, I don't know what I want from you. Like, whatever you can help us out with is what we'll take. You know, like, if you want to let us in. I don't know. Like, I didn't want to, like, overstep our boundaries at this point.
Because so he'd be freaking out as well,
he
right?
Was freaking
like,
out. Yeah.
1:30 in the morning, someone's knocking on my door. Yeah. I live in the middle of nowhere. Who's this?
Who the hell is this?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So we talk to him, and he's like, okay, I believe you. I'm not going to open the mini blinds. I'm not going to open the door. You're not coming into my house. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call a taxi cab for you, and I'm going to send him to my address. You're welcome to hang out in the driveway until that taxi arrives. I don't know how long it's going to take, but there's a bus stop about 5 miles away that I don't know how, like, what the bus schedule is like either, if it runs all night, but you and the taxi guy can figure it out. So we're like, okay, yeah, that's the best we can do. And we like thank this guy profusely, right? Hang out in the driveway, and I don't know if he could hear us talking afterward, because at this point we're celebrating.
Yeah.
You know, like, me and Pina are like so relieved. We're not like laughing and celebrating
right,
just but yet,
but
you know, we were happy that we were
right.
out in the forest. So I don't know if this guy could hear us or whatever, but he ends up, like, you know, opening a window above the driveway, and he's like, well, you guys don't look like murderers. And he was telling us, you know, like, believe it or not, this has happened before.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know
Believe it or not, this has happened before. And he's like, you know what? If this was the 90s, I would take you back to the city myself, because you look like a couple of nice kids. You know, like, we were soaked. So, like, and we were, like, desperately happy. So we were thanking him.
Yeah.
We look normal. And it's me and Peony. It's, like, you know, a young guy and a girl. So,
sure.
I don't know. We didn't look like murderers. So this guy's like, you know, if it was the 90s, I would have taken you back to the city myself. But I can't. Like, you know, this is everyone's heard stories about
I've heard,
knocking
I've
in the middle
too,
of the night. You know?
I've seen too many movies, man.
Yeah, I've seen A Clockwork Orange.
And you know
this
what?
Is what happens in A Clockwork Orange.
But, like, that is so crazy to me.
You can't do it.
But, like, but...
I don't blame him either.
I don't blame him 100%
either. I wouldn't have done it either.
But it's still a very, I don't know. Look, you got to look out for yourself, number one, right?
Yeah.
And that's what this guy was doing.
It's sad. It's sad that that's the world we live in.
Yeah, it's super
sad. It's also the reality.
The reality of it all, yeah.
Oh, and when we crossed this road to get to the guy's house, we saw one car going by. We flagged it down desperately. I was doing like the SOS thing, like three flashes of my flashlight. I was doing that desperately. We were both waving our arms. Not even a brick.
Didn't even, yeah.
Just right by us.
Aimed for you.
Totally don't blame him either.
Of course not. Oh, you kidding?
That's how every single teen horror movie starts.
You kidding? Yeah. You guys probably look like Night of the Walking Dead, not to mention, what you just came out of with this Martian crap.
Very strange because we were on both sides of a horror story, right? Like, we could have been, like, the victims of it in the forest. Now we look like the murderers, right?
So this happened to the guy before.
So he said this happened to the guy before. He did the same thing.
When did this happen?
I don't know. We didn't ask him the whole story.
You didn't interview him?
No time for that. So this guy was great. You know, it was him and his wife. They eventually, like, you know, stuck their heads out the window when they heard us talking. And we had our iPhones with us, and we were, like, desperately looking for a hotel close by.
Right.
We were looking for the bus schedule, which ended up not running. You know, the closest bus was at 5 in the morning. This was maybe about 2:30 now. Right? And so this guy, he drops us 2 blankets.
Oh,
thank God, right?
Wow, yeah.
This guy drops us. He's like, hey, you know, like, I can hear you. Still not going to open the door.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm going to drop 2 blankets. He dropped us bottles of water and a bag of almonds.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And that was, like, the sweetest almonds you've ever had in your life. Yeah, like, this was incredible. And we were just like, thank you. You know, I got his address. I'm going to send him a thank you note.
You got to send him more than that. Send him, like, something awesome.
Yeah,
like
something.
Like a sticker.
Yeah, send him a sticker. Yeah.
Think about sending him some almonds.
Be like, dude, I talked all about this on a show.
Go to the 404. So, yeah, this guy was great. Like, him and his wife, they look like an older couple. But I totally understand. You know,
of course.
Like, initially not showing their faces to us. They were a little bit elderly, maybe in, like, their 60s.
Sure.
I wouldn't have done it either.
Yeah.
Totally don't blame them for that.
So you saw the light first at about, what, 11?
Yeah.
11 o'clock at night?
Mm-hmm.
What was an old couple doing up at 11 at night?
It wasn't, the thing is, it wasn't a house light. It was a light on top of their
house. Yeah, it was
house.
Just like their house, you know, like you just
I don't
have
know,
a
like it was something.
Yeah, you just have like a light on it, especially in the woods.
Yeah,
just
it was like
so,
on top of
yeah.
the, okay. it was like, it looked like a light on top of the roof. I was like wondering about that myself because it wasn't coming from inside the house.
Right.
There was a light that
was
like on top of
that's not. Unusual,
yeah.
For wooded houses, to,
and it was the only one in the middle of nowhere. So I don't know. Maybe they were worried or something.
Worried about planes or something.
Yeah, something like that. Very low flying plane. So yeah, like this guy was great, and a taxi eventually, you know, he picked us up.
Yeah,
we get to the back seat of this guy's cab. And we explained to him the story, too. This is now the second time we've told the story, so we're a little bit more composed.
Yeah.
Did not tell him that our pants were soaking wet. We'd left the marsh out because we were, like, soaked in the back of this guy's car. And, you know, if he was like, screw this and left, we'd be screwed.
Right.
So, like, this guy picks us up, and, like, at this point, we're, like, breathing normally
now. Sure.
And the bus isn't running, so we ask him, like, where the nearest Howard Johnson or whatever motel is.
Yeah.
Tells us it's a Howard Johnson. We call it. There's vacancies. It's $175 a night.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking about work the next day. I'm thinking about, like, oh, what time are you going to have to wake up to catch New Jersey Transit back to the city? We asked this guy, how much is it going to cost for us to get back to the city, right? I don't know where we are right now.
Yeah.
He says we're about an hour and a half away.
Right.
We started in Sloatsburg in New York.
Yeah.
But
who knows where you are now?
Yeah, we could have been anywhere.
You're in Utah.
I have no idea how long we have. If I had to guess, I would say about, like, 10 miles.
Sure.
We've, like, walked about 10 miles at this point. And this guy's, like, an hour and a half away from the city. You know what? This story is crazy. I'm going to take you back to the city for $75. It usually should be like $150 because not only would he have to drive to the city, there's tolls.
Tolls back
you know,
and forth.
Yeah. And there's a George Washington Bridge he's going to have to cross that toll and then go back.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's not a New York cab.
Right.
So he's like, I'm going to like, you know, do you a favor here. I'm going to take you back for $75.
Unbelievable.
So he takes us back home. We like, you know, we takes us right up to my doorstep.
Wow. Did you think, like, this is all going to end with me getting a ride right to my doorstep?
Unbelievable, right?
Wow.
Like, don't forget, like, we had started this hike out at 4 in the afternoon. This
Unbelievable.
Was now about 4 o'clock in the morning that we returned. Like a full 12 hours trip.
Well,
that's insane, man.
So, wow. I just want to clap. Yeah. This is just like...
And he comes to work.
Yeah.
And he comes to work, dude. I'm just like,
But stupid, though. Like,
lessons learned. In hindsight,
like, these are the lessons that I learned, right? Like, don't take nature for granted, right?
Don't take
darkness for granted. Don't leave the trail if you get lost, right? And backtrack. Like, don't go somewhere where you don't know what lies ahead. Because we didn't know how much further we had, right? Which was, in retrospect, a stupid move. You know, like, we knew exactly how long it was behind us. Yeah, we would have had to hike in darkness, but it would have been dark either way. So it would have been much safer to just go back the way we came. At least we would recognize something, and we had trail markers to go along with. Don't rely on technology in nature, because there's interference. That compass had interference in the woods.
The iPhone stuff was completely inaccurate.
iPhone totally inaccurate. I think, like, the fact that when we were making that initial decision whether to press forward or go back, we looked at, like, my flashlight and we did a gear check. I was like, you know what? We have our phones. I have a full charge on this phone in addition to the 40%.
What's the worst that could happen?
And we were like, yeah, like, we're fine. We have, like, GPS.
Yeah.
Total city slicker move, right?
Don't do that.
The battery went out on my flashlight. The service went out on my phone and the compass doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, like, I thought it would use the accelerometer and maybe magnets inside the phone to sort of gauge. And you wouldn't have to use, like, a cellular connection.
Completely
which you don't,
false.
But there's still interference inside with the trees. Didn't think about that.
What about...
Right? I didn't have, like, matches. Totally unprepared.
Can you pull up the pin? Like, can we see the pin on the map?
I don't have... I have it on my phone, which is off right now.
Maybe you take, like, a screenshot for the blog post.
Yeah, I should do that for the blog post.
Also, you learned a little something. Start hiking earlier.
Start hiking earlier. And I don't know. I mean, I think experienced hikers have no problem hiking where there are there's no one else around. But we're not there yet. You know, I learned that the hard way. Like, hike where there are other people to, like, either ask for directions from or get help from in case of a crazy situation.
Wow.
That's it.
Unbelievable, man. That's, I mean, how do you... That's crazy.
Yeah.
We're obviously very glad you made it out of there okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can laugh about it now, but Jesus, dude, careful.
Yeah, I know. We were cracking up in the taxi.
Like, oh, I'm sure.
Relief,
and that's
panic.
A nervous laugh. That's
a nervous laugh. Yeah. I barely slept last night because that adrenaline was still going through my system at night. But, man, like, we were hungry. We, like... Oh, man, we ate, like, 3 slices of pizza each.
Domino's.
Yeah,
when you started telling me the story in the lab a few hours ago, I could see it in your face. You were turning white.
You were the first person that I told this story to.
You were really, and, like, after I heard it, that's why I had to, like, hug him, because I was like, my God, dude, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever heard anything like this in your entire life?
Well, nothing. But I don't know. I don't have many friends that go hiking.
Yeah. And I can't even, like, and he said to me, he goes, like, do you even have a situation where you were like, I was like, I can't even, no, I don't think so.
The helplessness of it was crazy. I remember during Sandy, I was really scared too.
Yeah.
You know, like, all the lights went out, but, you know, you're surrounded by people.
Right.
And that was, like, the most comforting part.
Yeah.
This, we were alone.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, relying on each other is
too.
A big deal.
Being alone is the worst, you know? Like, I was stranded for 4.5 days.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't get out. But I was like, it's fine. You know, at the end of the day, like, I never once feared for my life.
Yeah. Like, people know where you are.
Everyone
like,
knows
you
where
make
I
a
are.
Phone
There's
call,
helicopters
maybe.
Everywhere. Yeah. It's easy.
Right. Fun. This is totally different.
This is such a far end of the spectrum.
Yeah. It was very, very scary.
So going through that experience with Peony, I'm sure you guys are a lot closer because of
the wedding's tomorrow.
Yeah. I was going to say, you guys are getting married, man.
I got to give it up to Peony, too, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, anyone, like, you know, not even just a girlfriend, but anyone, like, could have panicked in that situation. She held it together, which helped me hold it together, too. Mm-hmm, you know, like, not seeing her freak out.
And panicking would have just made it worse.
Oh, yeah.
Much
way worse.
Yeah.
It's a lot of strength on both of your parts, for sure. Emotional strength, everything.
Yeah. It was bad. So, yeah, that's a lesson. Like, definitely be prepared. Get a map that isn't on your iPhone, right?
Yeah.
And then she was like, I'm going to get a waterproof case for my iPhone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if you do
sure.
any kind of wilderness stuff, it's definitely worth it to have that.
So you should call this trip something. Like, it should be called something. You know what I mean? Like, this
honeymoon?
Experience.
Yeah.
The honeymoon.
Yeah.
You know? Like, something, I don't know. It's just mind-blowing that this all happened to you, buddy.
Yeah. So if you guys want to buy a snow lizard of your own, I'm actually selling them out of my garage. Just PayPal me that money.
Yeah.
And that's the reason
you're heavily invested.
Yeah.
That's a great endorsement for them.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I have to sell them this.
I mean, and this is not something, this is just, you know, the best taste, a test case scenario possible.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest mistake was thinking that it wasn't going to get pitch black in the woods. You know, like, we've done.
What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. I thought, like, the stars, like, you know, like, we had a decent view of the sky.
Yeah,
I thought, like, you know, something would have illuminated us, but it was like there was nothing.
Yeah,
you know, like, it was pitch black
to me. That's probably my biggest fear ever, like, just vast darkness.
Yeah,
like being on a cruise. You ever been on a cruise ship?
Well, I grew up in the country of Australia, so,
so there's a lot of
darkness. Had a lot of camping as kids, and it was just, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah,
you can't see 5 feet in front of you, let alone like your hand in front of your face.
So, terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you get used to it. You have a fire and stuff when you're camping, but you know, if you wake up and you need to go like take a midnight leak, then that's it's going to be scary walking 5 meters from your tent, you know?
I just like remember being on a cruise ship at night, going off to the deck and looking at the vast pitch black darkness that stretches in every direction and just being like, wow, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
I was also on a floating hotel.
Right.
You're in the middle of goddamn nowhere. Right. Oh my God. I it's unbelievable, dude. I'm so grateful that you made it out of there. Okay.
You know what's funny is I watch a lot of those survivalist TV shows and nothing stuck. You guys watch like those outdoor shows. Like I watch like Survivor Man. I watch Dual Survivor. I watch like Bear Grylls. Yeah. All that stuff. Zero tips gleaned. Nothing. Like maybe the river thing, but that didn't help us much at all because we veered off that.
Yeah. I'd love to be able to see exactly where you went.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like a breadcrumb or something.
Yeah. That'd be great. I wish I could have had that.
Well, I think you can put together somewhat. Have you really looked at a map like closely?
I think I haven't Googled that guy's address yet.
Yeah.
Because like I have it in my phone.
Right, and you do that privately.
Yeah, right. Obviously. Yeah, I'm not going to give that guy's address
but
out.
Even though he's in the middle of freaking nowhere.
I could probably backtrack it.
But yeah, you definitely need to... I would love for you to put together just like what you think is the right sort of trail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, that's insane. I walked for like 4.5 hours and did about 13 miles around Manhattan, and I thought that was scary enough, but that's incredible.
Yeah, that's a different kind of jungle.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Oh, well, here it is. You can see it. So this is... Okay, wait.
That's where he lives.
That's where he lives. Let me see if I can like block this off somehow.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so can we switch back here?
Yeah.
Okay, let's now... That's where you were.
Mm-hmm.
All right, really not so much like, detail there. But.
This is like the park. This is, we were probably like around here because I remember seeing this Lake Sebago. And when we emerged, this is where like the guy's house is.
So you really did, you left the park, essentially is what you did.
Yeah.
You did leave the park because he doesn't live in the park.
Yeah,
that's not how that works.
Yeah, we were able to escape.
Wow. Unbelievable. What do you think, Raj? You know, I bet you didn't expect this coming in this morning.
Did not expect this coming. Oh, well, I'm just glad he's here. Oh,
yeah,
me too, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that story, man.
Yeah.
That's what it did.
I'm glad I'm here to tell it.
I am too. And I'm sure everyone else is too. Raj, like this was fun having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We got to have you back next time you're in the States.
Next time.
What are you up to? Where can people follow you on Twitter and whatnot?
You can follow me at Raj Diyud. I'll be at PAX Australia coming up in June. Doing a panel down there about all that Mac gaming and where that's headed.
Right on.
So that'll be interesting. And yeah, MacTalk Australia, MacTalk.com.au. You can find out any info there.
All right, rock and roll. Thanks for being here, man. Have a great trip back.
Thanks very much.
I know it's a devastating flight you've got
to
take.
It's a terrible flight home. But yeah, off to London tonight and then head back from London to Australia.
He's going the wrong way.
Oh, the wrong way. It's the worst way. It's about a 40-hour trip. So.
All right, well, best of luck to you, buddy. We'll see you soon. And you're also on TNT every now and also.
Yeah,
as well.
You can catch me on TNT every now and then with Tom Merritt and those guys.
Sweet. So, we know those dudes, right?
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us, Justin. Great story, man.
Let us
know what you guys think. 866-404-CNET. You can email us, the404@CNET.com. We're back here tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday, guys. And just be grateful that you're not lost.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.